Welcome back. I'm Michael Dresser. You are listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. Let me do this before we go to our guest. Mike Curtis was on with us the last segment, and his book is Try It This Way, An Ordinary Guide to Extraordinary Happiness. His website, which we missed, was Max, M-A-X, maxguitarcare.com, and there is a link to get his book. Dr. Jonas Webb with us. Jonas Webb is the pioneer of the field of child emotional neglect. It's a negative impact on adult behavior. She's written a brand new book now that offers insight, advice, and solutions for adults, parents, and therapists. It's called Running on Empty, Overcome Your Childhood Emotional Neglect. Jonas, hi, welcome to the show.
Michael, I'm happy to be here.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. Let me lay a base for what we're going to get into. And this is from your press release. Adults who have been emotionally neglected often mislabel their unhappiness as something else, depression, marital problems, anger, anxiety, for instance. But we now know that childhood emotional neglect, CEN, can disrupt one's health, personal life, relationships, and careers in devastating ways. CEN can leave one feeling empty, fearful of dependency, and full of guilt and shame. It can also result in low self-esteem, poor self-discipline, and indecision, just to name a few. And I think the biggest problem, and this is one of the things that you address, which is critical, it's most people don't even know that this even happened to them. It's not what somebody says to them, it's what is modeled, and we make that decision and that definition, and that's what causes the problem.
That's exactly right. I think all of us remember what happened to us when we were children, or at least some of it, and we remember things that have a big impact that are events. But childhood emotional neglect is so invisible because it's actually not something a parent does to a child. It's something a parent fails to do for a child. So since it's not an event, it's actually a non-event, once people grow up, they suffer the consequences of it, but they can't remember anything from their childhood to explain it. I just continually saw this. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'll give you an example of that. And I've used this example on the air before, but my dad died when I was 8 years old. And somebody said to me some years back, they said, well, he rejected you. I said, what do you mean he rejected me? He died. They said, no. The absence of acceptance is rejection. And I lived with that for many, many years unconsciously, and it was causing me to push people out to prove that I would be rejected. And that's an example of what we're talking about here. It's what it's what's modeled, and you're not even aware of that's going on in your life, and your behavior is a certain way, and you have no idea how to connect it.
Yes, I'm really sorry that happened to you, and I think that's a really good example. Also, for another reason, because obviously your father had no intention of dying.
No.
And emotional neglect is, you know, often parents who really love their children and want the best for them, and they just, it's by accident that they don't give their children what they need, as with your dad.
Sure. And I think one of the things that we have to do is define what neglect really is, which that's what you're doing. Because neglect isn't something somebody is doing intentionally. We can't repeat that enough. Neglect is something that doesn't happen, that isn't said, and you can have someone who looks like they love you completely, and they probably do, but there are certain things that they are not doing that you need to fill your emotional stability with.
Right. I always say, it's not enough for a parent to love a child. A child needs to have the parent emotionally in tune with them, because if you feel that your parent doesn't know you, then that love doesn't really feel all that real.
No.
So it's very different to love and to be emotionally in tune.
No question. Jonas, we're going to go to our first break, so please stay with us. Jonas Webb with us, PhD, Dr. Jonas Webb. The book is Running on Empty, Overcome Your Childhood Emotional Neglect. Listen very closely, because you may become aware today of something you weren't aware of. It's not what you don't know, it's what you don't know that you don't know that causes the problem. I'm Michael Dresser. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Dresser. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. Dr. Jonas Webb with us, a pioneer in the field of child emotional neglect. She is the author of Running on Empty, Overcome Your Childhood Emotional Neglect. Jonas, am I pronouncing your first name correctly?
It's actually Janice, but I get called
Janice.
So many different things.
I got it.
I answer to anything.
No, Janice it is, and we're good. Okay. Out of respect, I want to make sure I pronounced it right. Okay. And by the way, that's a very nice name. I've never heard that name before.
It's unusual.
Yeah, it's a great name. Now, Running on Empty, where was it that you created this, the Childhood Emotional Neglect Program. Where did you spot this? When did you become aware that this was such that this could have such a devastating effect on adults?
Well, I think it's just, you know, having been a psychologist for over 20 years now and working with so many adults and adolescents, I just started to see that there were a large number of people who were weighed down in adulthood by something from their childhood and that they couldn't see it or remember it. And I think I just saw so much of it that I started to put the pieces together and see that, you know, even though every therapist has the concept in their mind every day, there's no universal term that's ever been given to it that you can just say the term emotional neglect and everyone knows what it means. I think just because it's so invisible and so poorly remembered and so subtle that even therapists, even being aware of it, don't really talk about it or have the language to talk about it with their clients. And that's why I felt like I really needed to just drag this thing out of the darkness and make people aware of it and hopefully create a universal language so we can all talk about it.
Now, one of the indicators, which I think is very interesting, it is so simple, yet at the same time it has such a meaning, that people do not know how to say no. They're afraid to do so. And because of that, this, from what I'm reading here, is one of the indicators that this is a problem.
Yes. Actually, the whole idea of standing up for yourself and putting yourself first is one of the biggest signs that I've seen of people having been emotionally neglected in childhood. If you think about, you know, if you're in a family where, for whatever reason, let's say your parents are compromised in some way by grief, or say that they're narcissistic and they're taken up by their own pursuits and they're not paying attention to the child, or just that their parents raised them this way, and, you know, some parents just kind of shuffle the kids along and the kid does what they're told. And the child isn't really asked, what do you want? What works for you? What do you like? You know, what color shoes do you want to pick out today? Those people grow up feeling like they just don't have the skill, or they feel guilty if they try to say no to someone who asks them to do something.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, you took a breath. I'm an old radio guy. I was going to jump in, so we didn't have any. But when you
sure.
When you think about this, I think the greatest example of that is the old example of being on a plane and you've got a baby in your arms and the oxygen mask drops. Do you put it on the baby or do you put it on yourself? You put it on yourself because without you, the baby doesn't have a chance anyway. And I really believe when it comes down to it, it's the saying no. If you don't think about yourself first, how am I going to offer anybody anything if I have a diluted self-image of myself?
Yes, that is so true, and that's a really good analogy. And I think it's extra hard for people to grasp who were emotionally neglected in childhood because there is a lot of guilt that goes along with it. You know, if you were emotionally neglected, you might just feel like you don't have the right to ask for things. You may not even know what you like and don't like because no one asked you this as a child, and you never really got to know yourself in that way.
Sure.
I think it's a big struggle for people.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and also with the culture, years and years and years, we have been taught that you don't do anything for yourself, you do it for someone else. But I think another example of that is if I don't love me, how am I supposed to be able to love you? I can only give you what I have myself. And that's one of the major lessons that most people should learn. But the culture has buried that.
Yeah, and you can extend that too to sort of more a different kind of area. That if you don't know yourself emotionally, it's going to be hard for you to get to know your child emotionally. And then you're going to unwittingly raise your child to not know him or herself emotionally. And they will do the same thing with their child. And it just goes on and on and on and on.
You know, and by
that's
the way,
the reason to really try to fix it.
A great example of that, and it's very simple. You know, Janice, if you were to say to somebody who, let's say, they've been married three times, and you'd say to that person, describe your mother emotionally to me, not physically, emotionally, and then describe your father emotionally, and then you go back to the first husband or wife, describe them emotionally, and then you go to the second person, you're going to find that description is going to fit every one of the exes, one of the two. And we end up going back to mom and dad, and we try to complete what we didn't finish with them, and we do it with other people, and it doesn't work, and we end up at the wrong end of it.
Yeah, I think it's really hard for people to really accept what a powerful effect our childhood has over us as adults. You know, we feel like we're free agents and we're making all these decisions ourselves. But actually, we're so affected by our childhoods. It's almost like childhood is like the programming phase, and our parents are the programmers. And they set up the programs that will run the rest of our lives unless we decide to change them. And if you're going to do that, you have to know what's wrong with them, or that something is wrong, and then make a decision to change it, or else it will just keep running and running and running.
Yeah, another area, as you're talking, which I'm thinking about here, it's also most people need permission to feel a certain way, and we don't get that the only person who can really give you permission is yourself. Otherwise, you end up a deluded second best of whoever that person is, because that can never be the first best you. And with that, we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back. I'm Michael Dresser. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. Dr. Janice Webb with us. She is the author of Running on Empty, Overcome Your Childhood Emotional Neglect. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Michael Dresser. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show on CRN Digital Talk Radios. Call us in live, 800-336-2225. Dr. Janice Webb with us, the author of Running on Empty, Overcome Your Childhood Emotional Neglect. Janice, I picked the book up. I read it page by page, cover to cover. What's my takeaway? What do I, Michael, get that I did not have before I picked this book up?
I think just an understanding of how things that you don't remember could be weighing on you as an adult, and also how to identify exactly what you didn't get as a child and try to fix that within yourself and not pass it on to your own children. That's what I'm hoping people will take away from it.
Yeah, realistically, if you think about that, somebody could have a problem today and it could go back four or five generations, couldn't it? Mama taught mama,
oh,
who
yeah.
taught mama, who taught mama.
Right, yeah, because it's so insidious, it really does just keep getting handed down from one generation to another until someone decides to stop it.
I can imagine that the people that you work with individually, when this comes up and they realize what the problem, the beginning of the problem was, their mouths probably drop open. It's probably a shock.
I wish it was like that. It actually tends to happen in a more kind of slow fashion with, you know, kind of subtly realizing this one incident and another, you know, it happens more slowly. There aren't a whole lot of aha experiences, although it does happen.
Yeah.
And as soon as people start to realize it, it really helps them a lot.
And by the way, when you're talking about this, you're not only talking about, you know, the social impact, the emotional impact, it also affects a business impact. You got somebody out there in business, you got a professional working, and if they're being pulled back by some of the things we're talking about here, it is going to affect their bottom line at the end of the month. So this is not just for the individual. These are for people that individually who are also in business, and those things that they affect, and it affect them on a daily basis.
It seems like you're talking about the emotional intelligence. Do you know about the studies about emotional
absolutely.
Intelligence?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I think
because
what you're dealing with is the core of what you have affects every area of life.
Right. I mean, if your parents aren't attuned to your emotions when you're growing up, then you don't really learn how to identify emotions or put them into words or manage them or recognize them in other people. And then studies have shown that all of those aspects of emotional intelligence are tremendous impact on how successful a person is in life, even more so than intellectual intelligence.
I'm a military leader.
Which is kind of
amazing. Sure, I'm a military leader, and your life depends on the decisions that I make. And if I don't have my emotional intelligence balanced and together, I'm in big trouble. That goes with a relationship, that goes with business, that goes with everything. You have got the core of all of it in your hands here.
Exactly. Parents have the ability, or they have the opportunity to, you know, really raise their children to have all of these skills. And so I hope that a lot of people will take that chance and go for it and really try to give their kids the ability to do all this in their lives.
Okay, but is there a step beyond the book? You know, somebody can read the book, but then there's that practical application. Is there a follow-up to it?
Well, there are several really important things to keep in mind as a parent, and you know, they seem simple, but they're not actually all that simple. But they're definitely doable, and really, it's a matter of paying close attention to who your child really is, and take note of your child's true nature, so that you can feed it back to your child, and then your child will get to know herself through your observations and through your eyes, which is really important.
No question about it.
Also empathy. Yeah, just feeling an emotional connection to your child, you know, having empathy. And when your child is upset and throwing a tantrum, it's very easy to get just really upset and annoyed, right? Who hasn't done that?
Sure.
As a parent.
I know. Well, Janice, we're running out of time. Can we get your website?
Oh, sure.
Can we get your website where we can get the book at?
Yes, it's at emotionalneglect.com.
Okay, emotionalneglect.com. Dr. Janice Webb, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. I'm Michael Dresser. You are listening to The Michael Dresser Show. Go tell somebody about it, and we'll be right back.